Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to episode 239 of the Pennsylvania Project. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, our vision is a better Pennsylvania. To achieve that vision, our mission is to boldly showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania and to relentlessly pursue correct solutions. But more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, shocking though it may be. Along those lines, we have another electric episode planned for today. And like all episodes of the Pennsylvania Project, it's divided into one or more of three parts, either you, them, and or me. The You segment is all about you, your questions, your opinions, your solutions, your whatevers. And rather than a call-in format, we utilize an email-in format. So if you have something to say, you can always drop us a line at pennsylvaniaproject.com. Today for the You part, we have a listener rant about electric cars and taxation. After the You part comes part two, the Them part, where each episode we like to host a guest to help showcase the political, cultural, and or environmental issues facing Pennsylvania. But not this episode, sorry to say, which means no guest. After that non-existent Them part comes the Me portion of the Pennsylvania Project, where it will be my turn, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. That's where I focus on some particular issue that really sticks in my craw, pun intended. Today, I'll be ranting about everything I don't like about my new Tesla Model Y. And throughout the show, as is our long-established custom, we'll be featuring a Pennsylvania Toastmaster to serve as narrator to read our live commercials. Today's narrator is making her first appearance on the Pennsylvania Project. She is Distinguished Toastmaster Christine Wilson, a member of two Toastmaster clubs, the Delivery with Excellent Toastmasters and the Haverford Toastmasters, I guess presumably in Haverford. She's also the advisor to the leadership team for the Delivered with Excellence Club. Impressive. Welcome to the Pennsylvania Project, Christine.
Thank you, Ken. Happy to be here.
You look at your smile and still see how long that lasts. Yeah. Let me ask you a quick question. What do you like about being a Toastmaster?
What don't I like about being a Toastmaster? It's given me confidence that I didn't know that I needed.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Look, I got you on the radio, too.
That's right.
Well, it's good to have you here finally. Thanks.
Thank you.
You bet. And also throughout the show, according to another one of our ancient customs, we like to feature a Pennsylvania Toastmaster to read and help respond to whatever comes into our mailbag and join in on discussions with our guests, even though today we have no guest. It's a role that we call cohort, and today's cohort is making his seventh appearance on the Pennsylvania Project. Old timer. He is Distinguished Toastmaster Joshua Smith, a member of no fewer than four Toastmaster clubs, an officer of one of them, and, impressive title here, the Assistant Division Director for Program Quality in Division A. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project, Joshua.
It's been a while, but I'm glad to be here, Ken.
I know, almost a year.
Yeah, yes. Go ahead.
What happened? Last time you were here, it was nine clubs.
Yeah, well, I opened my own business. It's gotten really busy, and I have been rocking it. What can I say?
I don't
have all that time for those extra clubs.
I know. I'm running into the same problem now that my campaign for governor is starting to ramp up. I leave on Saturday for a nine-day tour of northeastern Pennsylvania. Nine counties in 9 days.
Here's a solution. You bring 19 other Toastmasters with you on the campaign trail so you can always have a rotating Toastmasters meeting. There you go.
Oh, sounds good to me, man.
Mm-hmm.
You coming with me?
Sure.
Hey, I'll be in your neighborhood.
Oh, you will?
Yeah, I'll be camping out at Gifford Pinchot State Park next Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I'll have to come on by.
Yeah, it's out your way. All right.
I'll bring the beer.
State Park.
Yeah.
Not allowed.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway.
Well, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know.
Well, I could talk about that for hours, man. It's a good time it's going to be having. I love traveling. We'll be camping out the whole time. Get to meet a lot of libertarians.
Yeah.
And turn them into Toastmasters if I'm lucky.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, we should get the listener question. We're not going to have time for everything we want to do today, so let's get into it.
All right. So we have somebody in which they wanted their name withheld for this one, but they did happen to provide their title, which they're the contributor to the National Motorists Association. They write, "I heard you rant about your Tesla. If people think they are cool cars and want to buy them, fine, but they should pay to use the roads. Right now, they are tax cheats that the feds and states fail to prosecute. There are forms to fill out, but few do."
You know what? I learned something here that I never realized before, never heard before. People who drive an electric car do not pay for the roads. And speaking as the owner of an electric car, that is news to me. Mm-hmm. News to you?
A little bit, because actually I have a Toyota Prius.
It's not an electric car.
Well, it does have a little bit of electric, being that it's a hybrid. So I have
it's a gasoline car with a battery.
Well, we can argue on the principle. Okay, let's do that.
It's not an electric car.
True.
It's a gas car.
It is true.
It just got an assist there.
It's still a hybrid, so it has a little bit of electric.
Okay, we'll give that to you.
Okay.
I call them dirty energy cars.
They are.
Yeah.
They are.
But people who drive those dirty energy cars, gas cars, they use gas, obviously. Every time the owner buys 1 gallon of gas, 61 cents is donated to the Constitutionally Authorized Motor Vehicle Fund, which is authorized by Article 8, Section 11 of the Pennsylvania Constitution, to be precise. And it's sad that that fund is not, quote, used solely for the construction, reconstruction, maintenance, and repair of and safety on public highways and bridges, unquote, which is mandated by that same constitutional section. But they don't pay attention to that. They don't pay attention to any of it. That's a whole other story. I already covered that in episodes 2, 6, 11, 22, 37, 40, 41, 107, 133, and 140. But I digress. They break the Constitution every time you turn around.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, getting back to my point here. When I bought my Tesla, nobody mentioned anything to me about any alternative to the gas tax. And it wasn't until this National Motors Association guy with this question came in, I never gave it any thought at all or any research on the topic. Well, it turns out he's right. There are forms to fill out. There is a tax to be paid. It's called the Alternative Fuels Tax, and owners of electric cars should be paying it. Have you ever heard of the electric?
This is the first time I realized that I had to be – maybe I need to be paying this. Probably not. But who knows? It sounds like I need to.
You are paying the gas tax. Oh, I guess you may have to pay a portion of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'll let you continue, but I have to say, I think I know where you're going to go with this, and I actually have an article in front of me in which I realized that even they want to tax a little bit more of not only the—
That's the one.
Yeah.
SB 656 or something like that.
Yeah, you got it.
You're right. I'm going to be coming to that.
Yeah.
That was introduced by State Senator Greg Rothman from the center of the state, Perry County area, and what it does is it requires electric vehicle owners to file the alternative fuel tax does, requires electric vehicle owners to file monthly payments with the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue. And you pay tax on how much electricity your vehicle uses. Not that I know what that is. Well, Senator Rothman says it's complicated and very few people pay the tax. Or were even aware they're supposed to pay the tax, and you can count me among them. I just learned about it. But the senator has a solution to the problem. It's a correct solution, but to the wrong problem. And there's that bill, Senate Bill 656. It charges owners of an electric vehicle a flat annual tax of $290 instead of that complicated alternative fuels tax. Now, that senator, he's to be commended for addressing such a badly needed initiative. But as I mentioned, he's solving the wrong problem. I'm not sure if that guy ever asked himself, how does that $290 figure make any sense? Because it does not. Man, oh, man. Let me tell you why. Let's do some math. I drive between 15 and 20,000 miles a year. And before my Highlander got totaled a couple months ago, I was getting about 20 miles of the gallon. That means I was buying about 1,000 gallons of gas a year. 1,000 gallons times 61 cents, that's about $600. Bottom line is that the senator's bill will cut my gas tax bill in half from what it was. Woohoo, I win. But wait, look at it from the other side. My wife only drives about 5,000 miles a year in her 30 miles to the gallon Lumina. And if you do the math, she's paying about $200 a year in gas tax. So once our electric Cybertruck arrives, she's going to be paying 50% more for the same number of miles driven. Now, is that fair? I ask you, is that fair? Is it fair to me have my gas tax cut in half for driving so many miles? Is it fair to her to get doubled for driving so few miles? Half again. Well, the obvious answer is no. And the solution to the correct solution is equally obvious. We should charge by the
mile,
not by a flat fee. Does that make sense?
That would make sense.
You could even guess what it is. Now, I already started to address this situation back in episode 133. It was all about the impact of the upcoming electric car revolution. So what's that, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Long time ago. Back then, I mentioned how the gas tax will shortly become obsolete in the next few years once all those dirty energy cars like yours are replaced by clean energy ones.
So the correct solution is rather than charging X cents per gallon in gas tax, we should charge X cents per mile instead. And that would be the same for any car. There's no reason to have the gas tax on gasoline. And I could talk about how that would work. We'll do the math again. As I said, my gas guzzler Highlander paid $600 a year for gas tax for 20,000 miles. Comes out to about 3 cents a mile. For my wife's fuel-efficient Lumina, who paid $200 for 5,000 miles, that's about 4 cents a mile. Can you see the obvious solution here? We could charge less than a nickel per mile. We already have annual inspections for cars. All we need to do is just look how many miles you drove, multiply that by 3 or 4 or 5 cents, whatever it's going to be, and then it'd replace the gas tax. You'd still be paying the same amount, but that way I don't get a free ride, pun intended, and my wife doesn't get penalized for inefficiency. How's that sound for a solution, Josh?
Sounds much better than what is going to happen to me. Now, talking about those hybrids,
yeah.
Let's talk about this for a second.
Is that in there?
Oh, no, not at all. So this article that I was reading didn't even address that. So what happened to me is that I got a letter in the mail from the dreaded Department of Transportation, yeah. In which they said, oh, we have to change your title for your Prius. Would you know, Ken, that they added a designation for hybrids? So you know what this means for me if this would go through? Not only do I have to pay the tax for gas, but also pay a portion of this new tax because of having electric, because they were considering that also part of that solution.
Uh-huh. They may have missed an opportunity here because all those dirty energy cars, they have a little electric motor in there too.
They do.
Right? Just the starter motor.
Mm-hmm.
To get it going. Why don't they tax that?
Why don't they? And why do they tax me? Twice. Three times.
Well, do you get involved politically? Do you go to your local meetings? Do you write to your senators?
I'm about ready to, because they don't realize how much of this is going to impact me. Mm. And I'm sure all my hybrid friends out there, you better watch what they're doing. Because maybe you're onto something about just having to pay just one. I'd rather pay one tax if I had to pay any taxes, which I'd rather not pay any.
Uh-huh.
But I'd rather pay one than pay two.
Yeah, just because you don't take an interest in politics does not mean the politicians don't take an interest in you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Ooh, that's called anti-metaboly. It's like one, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, or rather than solving the problem correctly, it's more important to solve the correct problem.
Yeah.
Anti-metaboly is another big word for your...
That's the word of the day.
Vernacular, yes.
Yes.
Anti-metaboly.
Yes.
Now, there are other things they didn't take into account. My Highlander is a lot heavier than my wife's Lumina. Mm. Now, shouldn't we take the weight into account? The damage that a heavier vehicle causes to the road? So maybe we could add weight to that calculation as well. So for example, my 4,000-pound Highlander would pay 4 cents a mile, and my wife's 3,000-pound Lumina would pay 3 cents a mile. And that's you come up with an obvious solution to that. For all cars, whether they're clean or dirty, you pay a penny per mile per pound. It's that simple. A penny per mile per pound. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And we eliminate the gas tax.
Yeah.
Right now, it's cheaper to buy gas here in Pennsylvania instead of people going over to Jersey to get gas.
Or Delaware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They stay here and it helps the economy.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. There's only one piece that's left open. I took a quick look, and I'm not sure what the law says when it comes to those big 18-wheelers. I did take a look, and according to the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association, the average truck pays 12 cents a mile in state taxes. But if you take, for example, an 80,000-pound rig that travels about 100,000 miles a year, the number is huge, and I don't think they're going to want to pay it. It's going to be a lot less than that. So a penny per pound per mile won't work for them, and it's still too soon to figure it out anyway because Tesla recently started making Class 8 big rigs, 18-wheelers. And it's the only one in the world at the moment, and they have not yet reported on their weight. It's not public knowledge.
Hmm.
So I have to come back to this one later on. And until then, until we know more about them, the quaint old-fashioned rules for dirty energy trucks will still apply. Anything else you want to add there?
Oh, you just got my head hurting with all that. Because even the trucking industry, we could be not having to pay any taxes. Like you and I, we're just supported on the trucking industry. Why not?
Because it's not fair. I'm using the roads, I should pay for them.
No, well, what's fair is that they're using it a heck of a lot more than I am, so why does it matter?
Well, they're doing 100,000 miles. I'm only doing 20,000 miles.
Eh.
Run for governor.
Yeah, until you go run for governor. Yeah, then you'll be adding a lot more. You'll be a trucker industry yourself.
I'll be straightening out this state when I get that far. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I started looking into it. It just got so deep, and they have all kinds of strange laws and this, that, and the other thing. So I just left that for another day.
There's a lot of things related to this for sure, but who knows? I think that there can be some common sense solutions. Maybe you started it, Ken.
Penny per pound.
Penny for pound.
Per mile.
Yeah.
Easy enough.
There you go.
On that taxing note, that's going to have to wrap it up for the U portion of episode 239 of the Pennsylvania Project. We're going to pause for this information, and when we return, I'll be ranting about everything that I don't like about my new Tesla Model Y.
Here's an interesting question. Everyone's heard of the United States Constitution, but have you ever heard of the Pennsylvania Constitution? Have you ever read it? But most importantly, was it ever taught to you in school? If you're like virtually all Pennsylvanians, the answers are likely to be no, no, and no. Well, it's long past time we changed those answers to yes, yes, and yes. We here at the Pennsylvania Project are all about solutions. So we've authored a petition demanding that the Pennsylvania Constitution be taught to our children. If you believe it's important for our children to know how our state government works, head over to our website, PennsylvaniaProject.com, and add your name to the growing list of signers. The alternative is yet another generation that has never heard of, let alone read, the Pennsylvania Constitution. And people wonder why no one votes anymore.
Hey, distinguished Toastmaster Joshua Smith here, cohort on the Pennsylvania Project. You know, it's easy to find a high-paying job. At least for some people, it is. Employers are begging for competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. But do those words describe you? Competent leader? Communicates effectively? If not, even if they do, you may want to consider joining Toastmasters. The mission of Toastmasters is to provide a supportive experience for learning communication and leadership skills. But does it really work? Hey, look at me. I joined Toastmasters, and now I'm on the radio, and I'm paying my gas tax, along with alternative taxes. So turn your life around, like I have. Visit Toastmasters.org and contact a club near you. Visitors are always welcome, and be sure to mention you heard it on the Pennsylvania Project radio show. The future is anxiously awaiting competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. You can be that leader. It all starts at Toastmasters.org.
The following is a commercial announcement.
Hey, Christine, how's it going?
Meh, could be better.
Why? What's the matter?
I just found a great job, but I can't take it.
Why not?
They want me to go as a 1099 contractor.
So?
So what about all the taxes? Federal taxes, state taxes, this tax, that tax. I've better things to do than figuring out the tax laws and filling out all of those forms. I'm a libertarian, remember?
Well, then what you need is Amendment 16.
Hey, it's the damn 16th Amendment that got me into this predicament in the first place.
No, Amendment 16, the invoicing service. They'll invoice your client for the hours and expenses you report to them, and when your client pays them, they pay you. Minus all required state and federal taxes. It's that easy.
And they take care of all the taxes? All the forms?
Yep. One call does it all. And they can pass along certain tax breaks, too.
Sounds perfect. Where do I find them?
On the web, of course, at amendment16.com, with 16 spelled out. That's amendment, SIXTEEN.com. One call does it all. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to the me portion of episode 239 of the Pennsylvania Project, where I get to rant a bit about something that really sticks in my craw. Today, I'll be ranting about everything I don't like about my new Tesla Model Y. But first, let me give you a little background. Regular listeners know that the wife and I recently picked up that Tesla, courtesy, indirectly, of a young lady who did us the favor of totaling our 2004 Highlander. Thank you very much. The whole story about how the stupid car got totaled and the subsequent response was chronicled in episode 221 of the Pennsylvania Project. Then next, in episode 222, I went into all the fun details of driving an electric car. things like the incredible acceleration where you go from zero to a zillion before you can remember to hold onto your beer. Things like the full self-driving option where you tell the car where you want it to go and it just does it. It stops for the stop signs, accelerates when the coast is clear, uses direction signals as necessary, obeys the ever-changing speed limit, and even tells you how much over the speed limit you want to travel. It's a nice option. In any case, all that and more is waiting there for you in episode 222 if you wanted to get into all the gory details. But that was then, and here it is several months later, and we've gotten to know the car well, too well in some cases, both the good and the bad. And you can learn about all the good stuff about the car by checking out episode 235. But as for the bad stuff, well, enough background. Let's get into it. Let's start with Tesla's so-called full self-driving. Bottom line is that it works, and it works surprisingly well. Most of the time, all I do is sit back, crack a beer, and enjoy the ride. And that wasn't only on expressways and interstates, nor is it only highways and byways. It also worked very well on winding back roads, even gravel dirt roads. Very impressive. But it has run 3 red lights so far. Yeah, I know. Tell that to the judge. It was the car, Your Honor. Yeah, right. Another very annoying habit of the full self-driving is that the damn car actually stops for stop signs. How many humans do that? 1 in 5, maybe 1 in 10, depending on who you ask. Do you stop for stop signs, Josh?
Mm-mm.
Christine, do you stop for stop signs?
I don't have a car.
Ah! The answer is no. I can't tell you how many drivers behind me beep their horn at me, wondering why the hell I actually stopped for a stop sign. Doesn't make me very popular with my fellow motorists, that's for sure. But probably the biggest problem with the full self-driving is what Tesla owners call the nag. That's a safety feature that makes sure you're paying attention to the road. The way it works is that every minute or two, you need to grab onto the steering wheel just to let the car know that you're ready to take over in case the car gets confused, like when it decides to run a red light or something like that. What happens with the nag is that the central display starts flashing blue until you grab the steering wheel and jiggle it a little. And if you don't, well, of course, the car starts beeping at you. And if you ignore it, it turns off your full self-driving. Now, rumor has it that if you still ignore it after that, the car will pull over and park itself. Now, me, I've never gotten it that far. But again, rumor says that if this happens too often, they take away your full self-driving ability for a couple weeks. And you see why they call it the nag? Someday they say it'll go away, but until then, it's nag, 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 nag. Yeah. Well, enough complaints about the full self-driving, because there are a lot of other things to complain about. Some are subtle, like for the fact that the car has no dashboard. And it's truth. If you look past the steering wheel, there's nothing back there but a blank dashboard. Instead, all the stuff is displayed on a monitor that sits in the middle of the dash. And it takes some time getting used to that, believe me. And one of the big problems with that dashboard, with no dashboard, is that there are no controls for standard stuff. Like turn on your headlights, turn on your wipers. There's even no control to open the stupid glove compartment, for God's sake. It's all controlled by using that big central monitor. And the problems with Tesla aren't just those that affect the driver. There are problems that affect the passenger. And the biggest one are those door handles. Oh, man, they're nothing like door handles on any other car on the planet. Because there isn't a handle. Instead, there's a flat piece of metal. It's flush with the side of the car. Nothing sticks out. But to open the door, what you got to do is push on one side of the flat metal, and then a lever sticks out. Pull the lever, and the door opens. Very, very unintuitive. I'll tell you, it was pretty funny when I picked up one of our cohorts to bring her to the station. She stood outside the car, bewildered look on her face. She says, "How do I get in?" Welcome to the age of electric cars, lady. George Jetson never told us it would be like this. Oh, man. And that lack of a dashboard, that's a major drawback because with a regular car, you have what's known as muscle memory. You automatically know where all the controls are without thinking about it. You reach out, turn on the headlights, reach out, turn on the wipers, whatever. But the Tesla, you actually have to take your eyes off the road to turn stuff on and off. And then they have the nerve to tell you that the Tesla Model Y is the safest car on the road today. I'm not sure how they're measuring. They certainly missed one thing there. That goes how it goes. There's a lot of other things about the car that I really find annoying. Simple things, like how you can't see those stupid handles in the dark. If it's nighttime, I'm like, grabbing the side of the car. Where's the stupid handle? I don't know. And like how the turn signals, they absolutely suck. They turn themselves on. And you can't turn them off. And if you catch it at the wrong time, all of a sudden you're going, turns on the opposite side. You got to turn that off. It turns back the first side. Maybe it's me. I'm still learning how to operate the beast. And every couple of days, I'm learning something else new. It just doesn't stop. And there's more I could go on about it, but I could look at the clock. We're running out of time here. But regardless of all these problems, and as I've said before, and I'll say it again, the car is a dream to drive. It's got one pedal control where you never need to step on the brake. You press down the accelerator, it goes faster. You lift your foot off the accelerator, it stops. You just pick that happy medium in between. Then there's that incredible acceleration that always sloshes beer onto my lap. I have to be careful with that. Oh, man. And then there's the fact that most of the miles that I drive, I don't drive. The car does. Come here to the station today, the car drove. Everything except for Lincoln Drive. I don't trust it on that yet because that's windy through the park. But the car drives everywhere else for me. I tell you, that car is as up to date as the day after tomorrow, and I feel like George Jetson behind the wheel. And it's ruined me because I never, ever want to go back to one of those dirty energy cars ever, ever again. Josh, enjoy your hybrid while it lasts. On that futuristic note, that's going to wrap it up for episode 239 of the Pennsylvania Project. What do you think about Teslas? You know what I think now. What do you think about taxing electric cars? For Josh.
Yeah.
We're teaching the Pennsylvania Constitution to our kids or anything somewhat Pennsylvania related. If you have something to say, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at PennsylvaniaProject.com, right after you sign our education petition, that is. And you can hear us there too, as well as on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and a plethora of other popular podcast providers and other things that begin with the letter P. Today's episode is courtesy of Amendment 16 Limited and produced live in the studios of WWDB Radio, broadcasting in Philadelphia at 860 on the AM dial every Monday at 4 p.m., among other times, and among other stations. Each episode is also released as a podcast every Monday at PennsylvaniaProject.com. Our webmaster is Stephen Worley. Featured Toastmaster cohort is Distinguished Toastmaster Joshua Smith. Featured Toastmaster narrator is Distinguished Toastmaster Christine Wilson. Official bartender Tom Kehoe. Keyboard wizard in the background there, Joe the Pag. Radio producer Sam Whalen doing a great job as always. And me, your caster, Distinguished Toastmaster Ken Krawchuk. I should have added that before. Thanks for joining us. And remember, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, whether it's dirty or clean energy.